I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Over the last year, through my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a trip to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute meditation, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. Over the next couple of weeks, I'll be talking to people who inspire me and people who I believe you, the listener, will benefit greatly by listening to. Surprise, season 2 isn't over yet. I am so thrilled and over the moon to introduce my friend and businesswoman, Suzanne Jackson.
Yay, Georgie, thank you for having me.
Oh, like you contacted me last week after listening to my final podcast, and you probably heard that I'd said you were one of my dream guests.
Yeah, I did. That's exactly what kind of hit the nail on the head for me. I was like, right, I'm making time. I'm going in. We're going to sit down and have a chat.
Oh, thank you so much. I know how busy you are, and I appreciate it so much. And it's so funny, I was looking through I was looking back through my phone, and I found that original post when I announced to my friends that I had breast cancer, and your comment underneath it. I was reading it the other day, and you were just so shocked. But yeah, ever since then, you've just been so supportive to me, and thank you so much. It means so much.
Oh, I was just shocked to the core when I heard it. I just couldn't register because we're the same age, and I was like, this isn't supposed to happen to our age group. It's supposed to be like older people. This is what you think. And I just wanted to reach out. I just wanted to hug you. I wanted to just knock on your door. And I suppose everyone must feel like that when they know someone, because it must have been so difficult. And listening to your podcast and how open and honest you are, it's just mind blowing. And I just have to say, you're amazing. You really are.
Thanks, Suzanne. I appreciate that so much. Talk to me about what life is like for you at the moment. Obviously, well, I don't know if people would know, but we used to work together years and years ago.
Yeah.
And you started your blog during that time. Mm-hmm. And you went off and created this brand and became this like hugely successful businesswoman. And then the rest of us were still there. And every day we'd be like, oh my God, do you see what Suzanne's doing? She used to be one of us and she's gone now. But you always kept in touch with us, and yeah, you haven't changed a bit.
No, and it's funny that you say that. My best friends went traveling, God, about 3 or 4 years before I started the blog, which was in 2010. And one of my best friends came home literally when it was in the height of it, probably about 2 or 3 years ago. And she was like, Suzanne, I thought I was going to come home to this diva, this like changed person. And she's like, you are the exact same. You're still messing around. You're still funny. You're still like Sue. And I'm like, yeah, I haven't changed at all in any way, shape or form. Obviously, I've learned a lot, but I haven't changed.
Talk to us a little bit about going back to before it all began. How would you describe your life before So Sue Me?
Oh, God. Well, at the time when I started So Sue Me, I was in a really low place personally. I had just been made redundant from my job in 2009. I didn't really know where I was going with my career because I didn't have any college qualifications except for becoming a beautician, which at the time I didn't want to do no more. So I was like, do I go back to college? What do I do? I had just come out of a hard breakup, and I was just all over the place. I didn't know where my life was going, and I was 25 at the time. So you're kind of supposed to have your shit together at 25, like so they say. And now I think I'm proof in the pudding that you don't need to have your shit together by 25. That just go with the flow. There is no age on things. There is no limits on things. But back then, I definitely just felt a bit lost in myself. And now in my 30s, married with the career that I've built for myself, I now know who I am as a person, and I take no shit anymore. And I suppose looking back, I have changed from my confidence has changed and accepting who I am as a person. I suppose I've really grown from the most in the last 10 years, but I wouldn't change anything.
I remember the day that you told me your blog was called So Sue Me. I was walking into the lift in work and you said, oh, Georgie. And I looked around and you said, I started my blog today. And I said, no way, what's it called? And you said, So Sue Me. And I remember being like, cool, that's so cool. And then I remember being in the lift being like, that is such a good name.
Yeah.
You kind of never looked back since then.
No, never looked back since then. I suppose I was part-time at the time doing reception on 98FM and Spin 103.8, and I had the time on my hands to basically write. And because none of the like social media platforms at the time, which was Facebook, were blocked because we could actually view them because that's the world that we were in media, I was like, I'm going to utilize this and I'm going to start a blog and I'm going to post to Facebook. And it just, I suppose, just took off from then. And the name was like, okay, I want my own name, Sue, in there some way. And I was like, I wanted to be kind of cheeky and tongue-in-cheek because we were in the kind of celebrity world when celebrities are coming in at 98FM, and I was supposed to be talking showbiz more so at the time. And I was like, Sumi's good. And my friend was like, so Sumi. And I was like, that's the name. And you know what? I was actually just doing a talk there before I came here to meet you, to loads of 450 business women. And I was saying, it's funny now, people say to me, I love the So Sumi tan, or I love the So Sumi eyeshadow palette. And like, I'm like, it's So Sumi. I do all this branding around So Sumi, but the So Sumi name has just stuck. But you know what? Once they love the product, that's all that matters.
And where do you get your drive from? I think you're one of the most determined people that I've ever come across, and that's so evident in everything that you've achieved. But where does that come from?
I suppose it comes from a place of like who I was before I started this and how I felt. And I just said, I don't ever want to feel like this about myself again. I couldn't afford petrol for my car. You know, I was so low in myself, you know, after coming out of a bad relationship. It was a bad breakup. And then I didn't know where I was in my career. I just said to myself, I never want to feel like this again. I want to feel better for myself. And I'm never going to stop until I have the things that you secretly tell yourself you want. You know, a good husband, you know, a nice house. And I know they sound like really materialistic, but there was the things like I looked at that I wanted back then. And having met Dylan and the relationship that we have obviously has driven me more than ever. He's just my backbone in everything I do. He's the one that keeps me motivated, if I tell you the truth. And I know that sounds cheesy, but he's the one that says, Suzanne, you know, when I'm down or something might be going on in work where we miss a deadline or a product doesn't kind of happen, or even you deal with negative feedback online, he's like, you got to keep going. Think of the positives, think of the people that love you, or, you know, your products out there doing really well. He is my backbone in everything I do. And then also the followers are just fantastic. Like, we spoke before we came on air about how mind-blowing the positivity we receive from our followers all the time. And, you know, after you did your personal podcast, and they keep you going and they tell you that you've changed their lives about it's a tan, and you're like, how? But it does, it changes how they feel, how they look in the mirror. My one girl told me it improved her psoriasis and how great she feels about herself looking in the mirror. And these are the things that keep me driven. And I suppose I never want to feel low in myself ever again like I did when I was 25. And so that's what just keeps me, I suppose, powered through.
And talk to me about when you first met Dylan, because like, we're all so used to you guys being together now. Mm-hmm. We don't really know at the start how it came about, but I think I knew you before Dylan. Mm-hmm. And I know you after Dylan, and obviously your brand and everything. But there's just, you're so happy with him. You're such, mm-hmm, a together couple. Like Pippa said that about herself and Brian, they're a together couple, and you guys are the same.
Yeah, absolutely. We are together 24/7. And you know, it works for some couples and it doesn't work for others. For us, it works. We do live together. We work together. We socialize together. We go to on holidays together. We literally don't have separate lives. We are together 24/7. But I couldn't imagine it any other way. And when he's not there, I feel a little lost. You know, I'm like, yeah, where is Dylan? And he's the same with me. But he's just such an amazing guy. He is the opposite to me in terms of, he's very calming. Like, I'm very high strung. I'm very driven. I'm loud, you know, where Dylan's quite quiet and he kind of blends into the background and he doesn't like to make a fuss, and he's just so calming to be around. And the thing about Dylan, which sometimes I fight about him with this, is when I'm trying to rant or get something off my chest, he goes against me. He's like, well, Suzanne, you know, look at it from this angle or look at it from that angle. And he kind of makes me think, yeah, okay, maybe you're right actually, you know. And he's always got the best to say about people. He's just such a good person. He's just so positive to be around. And like that, he's the one that just keeps driving me the whole time. And it is our business together, the tanning brand, and some of the ideas that happen, you know, he comes up with, like the project hopefully we're going to be working together on, which is very exciting. We won't go into too much detail. Yeah. But that was his idea.
I know. And I was floored when I heard that was his idea. And it's, mm-hmm, amazing. I can't wait to get going.
Yeah, we'll say no more.
What did your parents think of Dylan?
In the beginning, my mom was kind of like, in the beginning, God, he's quiet, Suzanne. Like, you know, you're so full of life. You walk into a room and like people know you're there kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, mom, but like when you meet him, you'll understand it actually works. Opposites really do attract. Yes. If I was to be with someone who's exactly like me, we'd probably kill each other. Mm-hmm. And now knowing him and being on holidays a lot together, they love him. Like, yeah, they nearly take his side sometimes when we're having a little row or a little tiff at dinner. My mum was like, Suzanne, you know, like, don't be shouting at Dylan, don't be giving him a hard time. But, you know, he's such a good soul. That's the only way to describe Dylan. And when you're in his company, you meet him, you'll understand what I mean.
Yeah. And I even felt that like on Instagram, he'd often like send me messages when I was sick. Or, yeah, you know, it always felt like he's just like you in terms of wishing people well, like what you said. That's, yeah, that's amazing. Tell me about when you started out and nobody else was blogging, did you find it hard to put yourself out there? Because like everyone was talking about you when you started.
You see, I don't know that. I don't see it like that. It's so funny that you say that. But I suppose I just saw a gap there in the market. And I was watching a lot of UK bloggers at the time, okay. And they were YouTubers. So they were on YouTube and they were doing video content. And I was like, there's no way I would even know what to do with a YouTube channel. I wouldn't know how to edit a video and I would not have the confidence to sit in front of a camera and talk to a camera. But I can write. And even though my spelling wouldn't be great or my grammar, as my mother says, is shocking, I definitely would just, I write how I speak. And I just said one day, I'm just going to start this writing. And I remember being one of the first in Ireland. Well, I don't remember any other Irish bloggers at the time. It'd be very rude of me to say that I was the first. I don't know. I was definitely the first to make a career out of it. Mm-hmm. But back then, I just saw a gap. I was passionate about fashion and beauty and showbiz, and I just wanted to talk about it and write about it. And definitely, I think I got a little bit of traction there from just, you know, the little bit of nosiness. What's this one up
that
to
now?
That
was what it was.
Yeah, people were like, what is this? I'm going to just check this girl out, or what is she doing? And I suppose that definitely gained traction and traffic for me. But I don't know what people thought of me back then, because all we have is Facebook. Mm-hmm. And you could only allow in your friends on your Facebook page. So it was a different world in terms of social media. But now that you say everyone was talking about it and looking in on it, they're probably just like, what is this? But it did well. And people to this day say, I'm still here from day one. I'm following you from day one. And that's lovely to hear too.
Because I suppose we only had reality TV back then. Mm-hmm. And you were putting your life online. And no one was really used to that. So It was so intriguing. And, you know, we were all so proud of you. Can you remember the moment where you thought, that's it, I'm going to give up my job for this?
I can't remember the moment, but I just remember going home one evening to my mum and dad, and I had a couple of brands that had reached out to me and they wanted to pay me for running competitions, and because I used to run competitions all the time, and it was a great way of getting traction as well and traffic to your blog. And I said to my mum and dad, these want to pay me. I was like, what do I even charge? Like, do I charge? Is that rude? Like, they're going to give me product, you know, should I just take the product? I didn't know anything about how to earn money from it. There was never ever a vision for me. I didn't know you could get free product or money from it, because like I was one of the first to do it. And I went home one evening and said, mum, dad, these three companies want to pay me. And I was like, I just threw out the figure of 150 euros. And they were like, yeah, no problem. And I was like, that's like, whatever, what is that? What's 3 by 150? Maths wasn't my strong point.
450.
450. I was like, that's a week's wage. Like, what the hell? I was like, oh my God, this can work. But I want to make sure that it's professional enough and, you know, on a level where I know I may be able to leave my job down the line, but this could be something. I remember that moment where the light bulb went off and I thought, okay, this could become an earning for me. And I invested in a website, got a loan of money from my grandmother, and I paid her back every penny, God rest her. And I went to Simone, sure, 98FM. I hired her to do my website, and it grew from there. But I remember then thinking, this is crazy. I can earn a week's wage from three customers. What? And I said, okay, I'm going to work hard at this. I'm going to like impress the customers so they come back. And I'm also, the followers are getting something out of it because they're going to get product or whatever it was I was running at the time. And it just felt like a match made in heaven, and everything was so open and honest. And, you know, it was a different world back then to now. Not that the world today on social isn't open and honest, but it was just so much more, what's the word?
Like it
easy.
Yeah,
it was easy, and people didn't see it. They weren't trying to pick anything a negative from that, you know what I mean? And they were delighted to have a competition around on my page. The followers, they wanted to win whatever it was, and it was exciting. But obviously now competitions ran all the time, no one blinks an eyelid. But back then it was like, oh wow, I could win,
get something for free.
I get something for free, exactly. Yeah.
And your brand, Sosu.
Yeah.
I was watching YouTube videos of you. I was doing a bit of research for this interview, and you did this Q&A one day, I think it was about 4 years ago, and somebody said, are you going to bring out your own products? And you were like, I would need to make sure they're absolutely perfect before I bring anything out. Tell me a little bit about your products. Like, do you have one in particular that you're most proud of?
Yeah, I suppose. Well, I am still of that nature where I will not bring anything to the market until it's 150% like perfect, in my opinion. And I will have given it to makeup artists and friends and family to trial, and I'll take their feedback as well. But like, I believe in giving the customer quality for a good price. You know, it is about quality at the end of the day, not quantity. And that's all I'm about with my business, and I'll continue to be like that. But in terms of one product that I'm really super proud of, today is the first birthday for Dripping Gold Tan. We're one today. not number one, we're one today. And that for me is the highlight of the whole brand, because I never wanted to do tan because I thought it was a saturated market. And I thought, oh, these brands have it sewn up. It's not an industry I want to go into. And then the followers were asking for it. Come on, bring out your own tan. Will you ever do your own tan? It would be amazing if you had your own tan. And I just said to Dylan one day, feck it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to do it. And we were 2 years developing the tan. And it was so much forward and backwards. I actually, towards the end, to be honest, George, was like, ugh, I can't even do this anymore. I don't know how I can get it right. You know, there were certain elements. It was sticking to the skin. It wasn't coming off. It was making my skin itchy. There were so many ups and downs. It wasn't dark enough. It was too dark. It wasn't drying fast enough. There was all of these things that I wanted perfect. And towards the end, I was like, am I ever going to get it right? And then finally, on my like 90th millionth sample of changing and tweaking the ingredients with the biochemist, where we nailed it. And I was like, this is it. This is dripping gold. I have it.
When I got sick and lost all my hair, you sent me the biggest box of eyelashes I'd ever seen in my life. And then you invited me to one of your launch parties, and myself and Jamie went in, and you came in and I said, Sue, I'm wearing your eyelashes. And you were like, I know. And I was like, wow, she's good. She knows her products. But that's how close you are to it.
Yeah, so, and I can nearly tell the style. So I can nearly tell that.
Really?
I always like to guess the style when I meet people in the toilets or out and about. I'm like, I'm wearing your lashes. Like, yeah, let me guess the style. And I 99% of the time get it right. But yeah, I know my product. I know it's different to... I'm so... in tune with my brand. There's nothing that goes out that's not approved by me in terms of like marketing or packaging. And then the development of the product, I am like down to the detail. And I suppose that's probably why I'm successful, because I am the devil's in the detail, you know?
Yeah, and that will give you longevity as Absolutely. Well, because you're such a perfectionist.
But the lashes were fab on you, by the way.
Oh, thanks. I am obsessed. Tell me about America. Like, obviously, there's all of these huge influencers in America wearing your tan and wearing your product. Is your next step to crack America?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we do have our lashes in Primark over in America, which is brilliant, and it was a great stepping stone. But now for me, I want to crack America and Australia. They're the two places that are on my like the top of my goal list. And it's tough. It is very, very tough. They're completely different worlds to Ireland and the UK and Europe. There's even so many different procedures in place and everything, but that's another day's conversation. But for me, America's really where we're going with things. We're actually talking to a couple of big celebrities out there and potentially collaborating with them as well to help with the brand, because that definitely does help with getting you out there more and more. But for me, the States and Australia are the two that I want to crack. And the States for me would be like a dream come true. Like, if you get in there...
Sue, I could see you living there.
I know. And you know what's funny? When we were in LA there recently for Coachella, I was like, Dylan, I want to live here. I know it's La La Land, and people probably, some people could, like, I could not live there, but I just loved it.
Could you go though?
No, I wouldn't be able to go, because we've bought our house now, our forever home. We have our three doggies. I wouldn't be able to put them through all that. You know, I think they've got to go through some sort of testing to go over to, you know, to different countries. I wouldn't be able to do that to my babies.
But you can have a nice like holiday home or something.
That's definitely the plan, to have like a nice holiday home. And we want to start off with one in Portugal and please God, maybe in the States. But that's wishful thinking. But look, if you don't have dreams and you don't have goals, you know, you're not reaching for enough, in my opinion.
I loved your pop-up shop in, was it Manchester or Birmingham?
Manchester.
Yeah. Like wall to wall.
Yeah.
So Sue, like, my God, like, what an achievement. And you, I think on Instagram that day you said you went back to the hotel room on your own and you were just like, had such a moment.
Such a moment. And I don't normally, because I'm always with Dylan, he'd actually gone off to another appointment, and I came back to the hotel room on my own. And I just kind of sat there going, this is crazy. How has this happened? Like, I'm obviously within blogging and within the development world of blogging 9 years, and then the development of product since 2015. Yeah, but I was just sitting there going, this is crazy. How have we gotten here? How is my brand already known in the UK? And we've opened up a pop-up shop in Primark, who will only work with brands that sell and that do well in the marketplace. And I'm like, this is something else. I do have a wonderful team. I obviously can't take all the, you know, the feedback and the compliments. It's me and my team and Dylan and even my friends, my family and the customer who buys the product. Like, they're on the journey with me. And that's what people always say, that because they have a face to the brand, they feel like they're on the journey with me. But I just sat down in the hotel room and I had a little cry and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is a dream come true for me. And like, don't be fooled. I've worked very, very hard for it. But still, it's just like a pinch me moment. And I don't sit back enough and congratulate myself or pat myself on the back. And I suppose maybe that's another reason why I just keep going, because I don't want to sit there and pat myself on the back. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't brought up where I was mollycoddled or told you're amazing all the time. We were reared, you know, as in like, that's great, now next, move on,
you know, off you go.
Yeah, like, tough love kind of thing, you know, even though my mum and dad are the most supportive people in the world. But I just sat back and went, this is crazy. And I just hope it continues.
I have no doubt it will. Watching you on The Late Late, well, actually watching your mum and dad watching you on The Late Late, I was like, oh my God, like, I feel emotional the way they were looking at you.
I know.
You are so close to them, but like, yeah, it must be amazing. And I have a daughter, like, it's to see her up there, like, talking about her brand, like, looking as amazing as you look, and you're so well, and like, you're so close to them, aren't you?
So close to them, like best friends, like literally best friends. Like, I just, whenever I want to sound anything off anyone, I go to my mum and dad. I'm like, am I doing this right? Is that wrong? Is this okay?
And do they give you the honest?
Oh, as honest as day. My mother says sometimes she's too honest, you know? Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't have it any other way, because they definitely guide me and they help me along the way. But sitting in the audience, looking at them, even from me, because I was on the couch and they had them in my eye level because they knew I was nervous.
Okay.
They were like, okay, we know you're nervous. It's your first time to ever do The Late Late Show. We're going to put your parents right in your eye level. So if you get nervous or your mind goes blank, Ryan will take over. Just look to your parents and maybe you'll get your win back again. So I was like, okay, just in case I get panicky or I don't know what to say or I'm on the spot. I'd never done something like as intense in my life. The Late Late Show is crazy, nerve-wracking. Like, I can't describe it. And I suppose for my mum and dad, it's the dream for parents in Ireland to have their daughter or their son or any family member on The Late Late. Like, it is, as people said to me, when you're on The Late Late, if you've made it. And I was like, mm-hmm. Wow, really? Do people really see it that way? I was like, I always wanted to get on there myself, but not for that, you know, title, but just to tell people my story and inspire other young girls and let people know that you don't have to be academic or know where you're going in your early 20s to be successful. You don't have to have your shit figured out. Just follow your heart, follow your gut, follow your instinct, and it will take you to the right places. And I think I got that across in that interview with Ryan. I was happy with my interview at the end.
No, you did so well. And I was nervous for you because I was like, God, it must be so intimidating. The lights, the live yeah. audience, knowing how many people watch it.
Yeah.
Did Ryan come up to you before you went on?
You know what? He was so lovely. I have to say, I was so nervous, Georgie. And I told them beforehand, I was like, guys, that day I was speaking to the researcher again. I was like, I'm just letting you know, like, I'm really nervous. And I don't normally get this nervous when I do events. And I've done a lot of speaking to hundreds of people. But like, oh my God, my heart's racing. And he was like, don't worry, when you come in, we'll get Ryan to meet with you and he'll sit with you and go through things. And I was like, okay, fine. And I came into the green room and it was packed, and Ryan was talking to everybody in the green room. I was like, oh, he's probably not going to get a minute, that's fine, I don't want to annoy him. And 5 minutes later, they brought me out to the studio to show me, when you walk out, you know, how to wave and where to go, where to sit, that kind of thing. I was like, thank God I'm getting the rundown here. And like, all my friends slagged me over my little wave. If okay. you look back at my interview, I give this little wave, because the researcher said just before I went on, don't wave. And I was like, oh my God, but that's so rude if I don't wave at everyone clapping. Like, what do you do? Just stand there and nod. But anyway, I was there, they were showing me the step, and like, don't fall down the steps, just let you know you have to go down them steps, which is really nerve-wracking. But anyway, Ryan came straight over to me, gave me a big hug, and he was like, now don't be nervous, I've interviewed before on the radio, this is no different, this is just TV. And I was like, just TV, Ryan? But he was like, I still get nervous myself. And he's like, I'll help you, I'll jump in if you go quiet. Or he said to me, basically, he'd steer me if I went, you know, quiet, which I was like, thank God he's going to save me. He's not going to try and grill me. Mm-hmm. So he was amazing. And he sat with me. So right, sit down now beside me. Okay, so this is how it's going to be, exactly like this. I'll be literally here and you'll be there. So don't be worrying. And that definitely made a difference to my nerves, because if he hadn't have done that beforehand, I probably would have been worse. So if Ryan, if you're listening, or anyone that knows you, thank you. You're amazing.
And what did you do afterwards?
Oh God. So I was on at 10, I think 5 past 10 for 15 minutes, and it was on till 20 to 12. So I came off at about 20 20 past 10 and I was like, I need a drink. I was like, I am so nervous, and they're all having a few drinks in the green room. So Dylan had a vodka and 7-Up ready for me, and he was like, come in, you have your own changing room area.
Okay.
Your own dressing room. So he was like, come in and sit down, take a breather. And he was like, just read your text if you want, because my phone was on fire. And he was like, read your text if you want, take a minute. And then all my friends come in, and then a couple of people from RTE come in, they were talking to me. They're like, come back into the green room. So I went back into the green room, and everyone was like, oh, congratulating me and being really nice and so supportive. And I was just like, this is so nice. So I had a drink with everyone there. And then I was like, right, okay, I'm ready to go home now and just sit with my dogs and just take a moment, because it was just hectic all that week. And I know it sounds like you're probably getting married all over again, but the nerves were like that. And my parents, on the way home from the late then come in to us, because they were in the audience. They had to wait till the end, which they loved the late, so they were really delighted to be there for the whole thing. And they popped into us on the way home. We all had a drink and a bit of a celebration, and it was lovely. It was a lovely night.
Oh, it was amazing. And your wedding day was gorgeous as well. You looked amazing.
Thank you.
Do you have a favourite moment from your wedding day?
Yeah, I do. And it's funny, I've actually only asked this recently in an interview, and I was like, what is my favourite moment? And it just came to my head straight away. So obviously me and Dylan live together, work together, like I was saying, and we're together all the time. And I hadn't seen him for the night before, which is only one night, but the night before your wedding, you're nervous yourself. You're at home in your own house. You're not in your, like, you're home in your mum's house. You're not in mm-hmm. your own house, your own kind of comfort zone per se. And I had to move into my sister's room. And all, I was lying there going, oh, I wish I was just in my own bed with my husband or my husband to be. But anyway, I got ready that morning, obviously, and I had a lovely morning with my mum, my dad, my bridesmaids and everything. And I got outside the church, which was chaotic. I spoke about that on the Late Late, if anyone missed that. And I got a bit, like, not panicky, but I was kind of a bit, like, overwhelmed. I was like, oh my God, like, there's so many people here.
It's hard enough to walk down the aisle, in private, kind of, you know.
Like, your emotions are high, you know. So I was like, I just want to see my husband. I just want to see Dylan. And I got up the aisle, and the minute he just turned around, just gave me he's looked at me. I was like, oh, I just felt complete again. I know that sounds so bloody cheesy, I can't even believe I'm saying it, but I just felt like,
you're home when you're with him.
I'm home when I'm with him. That's the best way to describe it. And it was funny, actually, because he gave me a wink when I come up the top of the aisle, because he described my dress to a T. He was like, I know what you're going to have. I was like, no, you don't. He was like, I know exactly, son. He described the lace sleeves, the V cut, everything, a big ball gown. He was like, I know, you're Suzanne Jackson. You're going to come in there with a big ball gown. I was like, no, it's slinky. So he gave me a wink to say, yeah, there's the dress, the exact one that I said you'd be wearing. He knows me inside out.
And the night before, I think Carla put up a video. You were all dancing around your breakfast bar. Was that a special night?
That was such a great night, actually, I have to say. It was funny, actually, because it was a bit of a bittersweet, because I was really enjoying myself. And then my PA from Sosimi rang me, Tara, and she said, Suzanne, she said, I have a journalist on the phone. She said, they want to know if it's true that you're shutting down the whole street of Scaries. And I was like, what? I'm not the queen. Like, obviously not. Like, where would you even go to ask someone to shut down a street? Like, I don't even know. I was
and
like,
she had to ring you
she
just
had to
double
ring
check.
Me to double check, because she had this journalist going to write a story saying I was shutting down the streets. I was like, oh my God, typical. So I was like, no, Tara, will you go back as a journalist? Like, it was in a national paper. Like, I was like, please go back and say that is not true, and I'm not a diva, and this is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. So I got off the phone. I was like to my mum, do you know what, it's my bloody night before my wedding, like, and I have people ringing me asking, am I shutting down streets? Like, I'm like, come on. So and then my mum was like, right, put the phone away, airplane mode, that's it, we're getting some drinks, getting some prosecco out. And then the night just took off, and we had a bosh. The bridesmaids were all dying the next day. So I got them all up in a big B&B. I rented out the whole B&B. It's just a little house in Scaries. And they left my house and went back to that house and continued having the prosecco. So they were all this morning going, we're a bit groggy in the morning, but they had a ball. And it was nice for them all to kind of, you know, get together and gel.
Carla's gas, isn't she? Her Instagram videos are hilarious. I think
Georgia,
it's the way she looks at things is so funny.
Yeah,
like her when she was laughing at her boyfriend on the Segway in that country.
She's a character. Like, Carla, when Carla Jackson walks into a room, she lights up the room. If anyone's been in a company before, they'll know what I mean by that. Like, she's just energetic, and she's just a light, and she's so funny. Like, I remember we had our staff night out, and we all went out for a couple of drinks and dinner in town. they all wanted to see my bar in my house. So like, come on, we go back to the bar. We want to see the bar in your house. I just moved into the house in the October. I was like, right, come on, we go back for a few drinks then. And we're all just sitting there having a few drinks, you know, just chatting. And next of all, Carla burst through the door. She wasn't supposed to be available that night. She was like off doing something. And then she was like, I'm here. And like the room just was lit up. As soon as she came, the music was up. Everyone was chanting. Everyone was up dancing. It was just, she just is electric. And she's so much fun to be around.
Is she your best friend?
She is my best, like obviously my best friend would be Sarah Ward. She's my best friend for like the last 15-20 years. Mm-hmm. And she was my chief, and like she's the one that I turn to all the time. Carla's my sister. We kill each other. Mm. Obviously we tell each other everything, and I'm very 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 protective of Carla because she is such a social butterfly. And you know, I'm like, Carla, you can't be on Instagram stories shouting down the Instagram stories like anymore, like would you stop? I'm trying to like help her a little bit, you know. But she's like, I don't care, feck it, you know. She's just so careless. She doesn't care. But she is a little soft soul as well, you know. But yeah, I tell her everything. She tells me everything. But we kill each other as well. We're sisters. But my best friend, also like my home friend, like in terms of like I feel like home, would be Sarah and Jessica. They're the two I turn to for everything. And
you still have your home friends, and yeah, that's just so much proof that you haven't changed a bit.
No.
So then obviously everything is so hectic for you. How do you switch off?
You know what? I wish I knew how to switch off, Georgie. That's the truth. And I, you know, listen to your, you know, podcasts on self-care and everything. It's just so hard to adapt to, and it's so hard to actually do it. You know, like we all have great hopes for ourselves, but like to actually action them, it's so difficult. And I know the business has taken its toll on me lately, you know, because it is getting only bigger and in more demand. And it's just, there's so many ups and downs with business. But for me, I do need to adapt to taking time off more. And I know people might say, sure, she's always on holidays, for feck's sake. But like, even though I'm on holidays, I'm still working the whole time. And that's the truth. I'm never off my phone, never out of emails or the WhatsApp groups. We have WhatsApp groups for design, packaging, for everything. And I'm never out of them either. But what I do to kind of switch off for sure would be to listen to a good podcast. I love that. Just put my phone, you know, down, just listen to a good podcast. I love a bath because you literally won't have your phone in your hand the whole time. And then walking my dogs with Dylan just clears my head. Just get out into the fresh air. You said that. Just get out into fresh air. Has such a great effect on you, fresh air.
And
just
it really being in nature. Does.
It's weird, isn't it, how I actually do that?
Yeah.
But this year, my mum and dad are saying to me, you need to do more. You need to find a hobby. You need to go to the gym. You need to go do yoga. You need to do something, because you're going to burn yourself out, basically.
And where do you see yourself in 10 years then?
It's a good question. I would love for the brand to be global. I would love it to go global. I'm not going to stop till I get there, please God. But I would like to still have my business and still be heavily involved in my business, but maybe not in the WhatsApp groups approving everything the whole time. But I would love for it to be global, and I would just love to just be happy and healthy. That's all I want in life. I just want good friends, good family, and everyone just to be happy and healthy. And everything after that's a bonus.
That's what you've always been about. And I'm so proud to call you my friend, and thank you so much for doing this today.
Thank you, Georgie. You're amazing.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast. Please subscribe so you can be the first to hear about new episodes. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a review. You can check out thegoodglow.ie for more on my story and follow me on Instagram @GeorgieJCrawford.